Welcome to Unpacking with Jennifer. I'm your host, Jennifer Sattell. This is the podcast where we get real about all the things, from raising kids and managing family life to balancing work, endless activities, and somehow keeping your home organized through it all. As a mom and a professional home organizer, I know firsthand how overwhelming it can be. But here's the thing, organization isn't just about pretty containers and tidy shelves. It's about creating systems that work for your busy life, so you can spend more time enjoying your family and less time searching for lost shoes. Each week, we'll dive into everything from decluttering your home to simplifying your schedule, handling the chaos of kids' activities, and finding that elusive balance between work and family life. Because let's be honest, we are all trying to figure it out. So if you're ready to unpack the mess, both inside and out, let's jump into this week's episode.
Welcome back to Jennifer's podcast. Don't forget to hit like and subscribe and follow so you can find out when the latest episode drops.
As I always say, because I am so excited, as we know, when I have a guest, I do high kicks and they're always very special people. And I'm very excited to talk to Samantha. So say hi, Samantha.
Hi, friends.
You prefer Sam. Samantha. But Mark calls you Sam.
Yeah.
See, I always think, should I be calling you Sam? But this whole time I just say Samantha.
Yeah.
And I also think of Olaf in Frozen when he says Samantha. Did you see Frozen?
I still haven't seen it.
That's okay, because I didn't watch Disney until Charlotte was around and she was really into Frozen. But Olaf's the snowman and man, he is cute. But he says Samantha and I think of you every time. He's like, Samantha, I don't even know a Samantha.
I also apparently have my own American Girl doll, which I've never actually seen in person.
No, and you spent, that's like $150 for a doll without the clothes and the closet. That would, get out of here. You're not missing out on the Samantha doll, but it sounds amazing. I bet she's beautiful.
Fun fact, the name came from Bewitched.
Samantha. Samantha, yes. I did watch Bewitched. You did not watch Bewitched because you're younger than I am and I just
age myself. Nick at Night, so.
Oh, Nick at Night. Good old Nick at Night. Okay, so she's amazing for 100 reasons, maybe more, 1,000 reasons. I only know about 100 reasons, but I want to just briefly say before we start diving into conversation, how we met, Pilates. The funny thing is, you came up to me and you said, is that your car outside? Because I have the little sticker on the back that says inisproperplace.com in case any of you forget what my organizing business is, which is amazing, by the way. And she said, is that your car? And you know, is that your car out there? Which, what made you think that?
Well, I think I saw you leave the car and I was looking for an organizer. I had been on Yelp and I actually had someone come over like the day before and I didn't vibe with them so much, but I know I needed help in that area. So I noticed a sticker because I'm someone who just notices signs and stickers and resources. And then, so I came up to ask you because I'm like, I think I saw her walking to that car the other day.
Oh, okay. I didn't miss that. Yeah. And then she comes up, she's like, you're not even believe this, but I was actually looking for an organizer. I'm like, what are the chances? I just felt like that was like, and I was taking a later class that day because normally I take the early classes. And anyways, it was just, I feel like it was meant to be. She had a list of things that she needed help with, which was great. She finally realized, I need a little bit of help, and that's okay. And we'll talk about that in a second. But I also want to talk about when I came to your house first and did a consultation, right? Or did I just come?
I sent you pictures and then you came like ready to
rearrange. Yeah, that's right. You sent me pictures. Some people, I like doing the pictures because I actually can see all the stuff. And anyways, and when I first walked in, I met your husband right away. And what did I notice right away?
That he's very tall.
That he's the tallest human ever. He's a bean pole too. I was like, Jesus.
Mark and the giant beanstalk.
He's Mark and the beanstalk. I mean, seriously, he is tall. He's super, you know, pretty thin. I feel like he's just a bean. And he just comes and he's hilarious, you guys. He's so fucking funny. But he was just all over the place. And I remember he was holding a bag of pretzels. Do you remember?
I do.
It was the size of a pillow.
It was. And it was the grocery outlet discount $2 bag of pretzels that I had to buy because it could feed like 40 people.
Yes. And I remember he's like, hi. And he's talking to, and he's holding this pillow. It's an actual pillow of pretzels. And he's like, Sam just got this for $2. And I'm like, wow, are you guys really pretzel fans? They're like, eh, I mean a little.
I'll see you in 4 years. You probably still have them in the cupboard. No, I'm just kidding. That's what I remember. Like I just remember standing there laughing. I was like, who the hell has the pillow sized thing of pretzels? I don't know. It was just the funniest thing. Okay. So tell me a little bit about yourself because I can talk the whole time.
I have lived in Los Angeles my whole life. I'm a fourth generation Angeleno. And Mark and I started Good Box Organics in 2010. So we bring fruits and vegetables from local farms to families and raise money for schools at the same time. So the eating healthy has been a big mission of mine for like the last 20 years. And I'm an artist and a mother, and I was recently diagnosed with ADHD, which makes everything make sense. And why I need you in my life, because cleaning and organizing and decluttering is not in my wheelhouse.
No, and that's okay.
But creating things is. I create a lot of things.
She does. And I want to talk about the ADHD. You know that. I want to talk about that. But I want to tell you, she is, in my head, I am the craftiest person. I am an artist. I am a singer. I am a singer. It's not good, but I'm a singer. But in my head, I'm an artist. I'm a with the crafts and the glues and the things and the stuff. She is that person. She's that person. Every time I come over, there's something new or there's a picture and I'm like, oh, or like a, and it's always on something weird. Well, not weird, bad, just weird. Like it'll be like on this beautiful rock she found in like the depths of the freaking sand of the, and she hung on to it. And then she painted this beautiful like mountain view. And I'm like, what the fuck? You painted that? Like in my head, I'm like thinking, where did you get that? I'm going to get one. And she's like, oh yeah, this is like a Tuesday and I just painted it. But I've had this rock for 20 years, you know, and she has so many different things. Her house is a representation of her and her family, but also her creativity. I really feel that you have your hand in everything. You're so creative.
Thanks.
And
yeah.
Like sometimes too creative. Like
yeah.
I have razzed her a little bit. Like, give me a fucking break, lady. You don't need to keep all the sticks and paint all the things.
Yeah, that's the problem with multimedia projects. It involves a lot of materials.
She has a lot of materials. And I also absolutely want to talk about your business. That's one of the reasons. You guys, we all know of delivery. We know of all the different delivery things, fruits, vegetables, this place and her house, all her decor. She finds the cutest shit. So she'll come in with like earrings with oranges, earrings with a bag. Right now,
I'm
she's wearing a bag
of lemons
on her ears. But or she'll do like work parties, and the favors are like a bag that's like shaped like a snap pea. Wasn't it like a snap pea or something? I'm like, what? This is so cute. It's just such a you just have a lot of fun and talent, but a good business. So tell me about your business.
Yeah.
Besides that, you've had it for way longer than I thought.
Yeah,
and it's successful.
Yeah, thanks.
Very successful.
We're in our 15th year, and I used to volunteer at the farmer's market, and I shopped from there, like, my whole childhood, and I started volunteering there because I was an overachiever in high school and wanted to look good on college resumes, but then it turned out I fell in love with the food, I fell in love with the people. Farmer Gene was my mentor, all things food and people and community, and he's just, like, one of the most amazing humans I've ever met. He just has his hand in everything. You think I'm crafty with everything? That's him, like, he's a baseball coach. He's a high school principal. He's an army veteran. He's a fruit farmer. He's a grandfather, geez. A father, a mentor. Like, he just an incredible human.
He's
always
like, I don't
giving.
Even sleep.
He doesn't sleep. And he says, I don't work a day in my life because I do what I love. So,
oh, see, that's the best attitude to have when you're like, I love what I do. And
yeah.
You, I feel that you love what
yeah,
you do.
I do.
I mean, I'm sure there's
it's
days.
It's not
where
easy.
Like, yeah, I'm sure there's days where like I really
like
don't.
Like last Monday when the car door fell off of a delivery van in the middle of the day. That was fun. There's fun things like that that we get to endure. But yeah, so.
Of course it did.
Of course. And that was before Mercury retrograde officially started even. So.
Oh, wow.
So farmer's market was amazing. Fell in love with the food. I was vegan at the time too. So like fruits and vegetables were my everything, but I didn't want to be one of those preacher people who was like, everyone needs to only eat fruits and vegetables. I want to just make it easy for people. And my dad's a preschool teacher for over 40 years. So cool. It's so rare to find men in that profession. And we, one summer, brought fruits as like a pilot program to a school. I brought flyers and was like, if you want some fruit for 3 weeks while the peaches and plums and apricots are ripe, sign up here and I'll bring it to your car when you pick your kid up on Monday.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So we did that for 3 weeks. It was successful. And so I'm like, let's keep it going. And Mark and I did farmers markets every weekend and gathered all these foods and working with the farmers that I've been eating from like my whole life. And then we started with that preschool in West LA and it grew. Somebody, you know, graduated, went to elementary school and brought us to their elementary school and yada, yada. And we give 5% back to each school. So it's just such a win-win of like,
oh, that's
the
amazing.
Families are eating well, the schools are making money, the farmers are having support year-round and not depending on how good the weather was on the farmer's market day. You know, it's like a consistent thing for everyone involved.
Wonderful.
And this year we'll actually be hitting a $300,000 milestone for donating back to the schools, which I'm super jazzed about.
That's amazing. They need it too. They so need it. Anything is so helpful, but it's so good. You do all these great things. I feel like you just do all these great things with that program because everyone eats fruits and vegetables.
They do. And I'm not vegan anymore. And I support people.
Did you
whatever
tell people
food,
all the time you were vegan?
Not at all. I'm not one of those. So that's the thing. I wanted to subversively be like, oh, look, extra fruit and more plants in your life. But I believe everyone should eat what feels good for their body. And in this current phase of life, I'm all about these like easy time-saving hacks. Like, go make the Trader Joe's frozen pizza, but you could like snip some fresh herbs on top from the box and feel really healthy. Or like saute some spinach when you pour in your leftover curry and suddenly your meal is like twice as healthy, you know? So there's so many ways as busy people who have too much on their plate that we can still make healthy choices and inspire our kids. Like I had Jasper in the kitchen with me yesterday and I let him get really creative and there were some interesting things that we made. But he ate so much food because he was involved in the process. We used the spiralizer to make zucchini noodles.
Yeah.
And then every piece that didn't fit in there, he just wanted to start eating. So here he's like eating raw zucchini and cucumbers and carrots.
And, like, these are my dreams. Yeah. All of them are coming true. I need to have you take Charlotte and do that because I don't know that you can spiral chicken nuggets with ranch. Maybe. I don't know. You
maybe
have to try.
Ranch could be the intermediary, right?
Oh my gosh, that's actually really amazing.
Synchronized broccoli swimming contest in the ranch sauce with the chicken competition.
There we go. So how does the delivery work? I mean, I know how the delivery works. How does the delivery work for people who, because you can pick, right? Like a week, every other week, a month, once a month, whatever.
Yeah, so most of our clients are weekly or every 2 weeks. Our website is goodbox.la. And so people choose a size. We have all fruit boxes because let's be real. If you're really busy, you don't have time to cook vegetables or maybe you're getting already prepared meals or eating out, whatever. But we can deliver fruits that taste 500 times better than the 7, supermarket
7,000 billion times better.
So we have fruit boxes. We have fruits and veggies. People, and we serve all over like the greater Los Angeles region, Pasadena to Thousand Oaks, down to LAX and up to the top of the valley. And so people choose their box. And then whatever is ripe and delicious and ready on the farm that week, we bring it to them. And we send an email. That's my favorite part, the email, because I send out recipes that are just super easy. Not like Bon Appetit, like 90 ingredient recipes with 12 steps. It's like, how can I fit everything in one pot and make it taste good in 10 minutes?
I know.
So those
half the reason I don't use recipes. A lot of, you know what I mean? You look and you're like, I'm not even going to do that.
I can't even follow recipes myself. I can make them, but I can't follow them. But that's why I try and keep them so simple. You know, 2 to 5 ingredients and under 20 minutes. And I feel like a crusader. Like I've helped people discover that their kids will eat kale chips or eat persimmons or parsnips. Like,
even at your house, because you have, she does all this, she gets all this different stuff that I've never seen before just because of either she goes to these conferences where they do, it's like a food convention and just like things that you would never see. And one day we were like doing her, I was helping her with her pantry and there was all this stuff. And I'm like, what the hell is this? What the hell is this? She's like, try it. Because the name is like disgusting, right? Or it looks disgusting or it sounds disgusting. It's like the most amazing chip. Like mostly they were like chips, I think. They were like Himalayan something, something.
Although you were scared of the mushroom jerky, which was pretty tasty.
I couldn't even look at it. You guys, you know what? If you know me, you know I hate mushrooms and I hate mayonnaise, like to the point where I rip my skin off. And she has all this cool stuff and it's all packaged cute, fun colors. And I was like, what is this little? And I look and it says mushroom jerky. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. And it looked terrible. It was a nightmare in a package. And she's like, it's amazing. And I was like, I'm going to believe you. I don't even want to smell it, look at it. I just like threw it in the bin and I was like, and I'm done with that. But you guys, mushroom jerky, a lot of people love mushrooms. I loathe mushrooms. No matter how, it could be mushroom dust and I will find it. But yeah, you have some fun, I don't know, just fun stuff that I've never, like I've tried now because I see like just little snacks. It's mostly like the snacky stuff because, yeah. You know, whatever. But some of the stuff is healthier, a healthier option. And I don't know. And with kids, there's some really great kids, things that you put, you know, all the stuff. Anyways, all the stuff. Go ahead.
And it sells itself. It's so delicious. Like the Flavor King Pluots right now that are purple and juicy and...
I know. We're trying to get Charlotte to try all the plums that you had. There was like the little green plums, yeah. And the little plums. And I mean, we got it to her mouth, the purple one, the green one. She was like, no, and she's like, it's okay. I mean, it's just, as long as she's trying, like even just putting her mouth to it, it's the most stressful thing.
You know what's fun to try maybe? Fruit kebabs. Like you cut it up or she cuts it up, but then she can like string them on just like a necklace beading, but on a stick. And whether she actually eats it or not, she might just like
enjoy
do
it.
Some taste tests. Yeah. As she's
and she really likes
creating.
Your strawberries.
Oh, good.
She likes the strawberries. Well, you didn't grow them, but you know, it's great. But yeah, I'm trying so hard because it's so frustrating. I mean, Jasper's better. He was bad with eating, right? Or no?
No, I got really lucky. He's a good eater. He's still a toddler or was a toddler and is now a little kid. So
he's still a toddler.
He does the like, I used to like that, but I don't like that anymore. My taste changed, Mom. And so he's been saying that a lot more
lately.
He's
very sophisticated with his responses. How old is Jasper?
He's going to be 5 in October.
Yes. And you have a few hiccups, struggles with him.
He is amazing, and he's also hard. He's on the spectrum and pretty severe ADHD, and he's brilliant. He's, like, outsmarted me multiple times already. And, like, starting at age 2, he found loopholes or, like, arguments to get his way that just blew me away. So I'm in for a real treat when he's a teen because he's already smarter than me in a lot of ways. But because of his, like, sensory needs and... all over the placeness. It is a lot of work and mental energy to like help keep things reined in and think about, I have to think 3 steps ahead so that I can help prepare him and prepare the space and like keep things moving along. Cause otherwise there's just a lot of like explosive emotional happenings.
I know that's really challenging. I feel for you on all the things, but what I really feel for you with him is the sleep.
Yeah.
I feel that I would cry all the time.
He's never been a good sleeper. We're actually, knock on wood, like the best we've ever been because I hired a sleep coach finally.
Oh, you told me
this
you
is
were
like
going
the second
to-
or third round of sleep coaching that we've done because just to paint a picture for you, he is like the bottom of the bell curve as a sleeper. So he has low sleep needs. Most kids his age sleep like 10 or 12 or 13 hours and he's cool with like 7 to 9. Even when we did sleep training when he was a few months old, he never got past sleeping in past 5 a.m. Like, that was the latest ever. And that was a good day. And so even recently, he went through another bout where he was, like, waking up at 3:30 or 4:30 a.m. again. And I was like, okay, I'm putting money into this problem because
Mama's going to die.
I need to improve my health. By sleeping
you're like,
8 hours.
My sleep, is it? I do need more than you, sweetheart.
Yes. Yeah.
When you were telling me the last couple of visits at your house and you were telling me, oh my God, he's been waking up like 3:34. I was like wanted to cry for you because, oh, the other thing too is, and we'll go into the organizing part of our help, but she would have all these jackets like in the hall closet. And I'm like, dude, it's summer. Like, what are we doing? She's like, remember, he gets up really early and I have to like get some energy out. And you guys
yeah,
would
we
get,
go on walks as soon as the sun rises. As so like soon as 6 a.m.
So
we're
it's
out.
A little, you know, chilly. So they'd have all these jackets. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't even think of that. And I didn't think about getting out of the house. Like, but because he has this energy, he's ready to rock.
He wakes up ready to like put on a production. Yeah. He does, you know, some people need their coffee. They lounge in bed.
David.
Some kids even like talk to their stuffies or just kind of like wake up. So yeah. He wakes up like a tornado ready to go.
And that's exhausting.
Exhausting.
And
so
then,
yeah, the sleep coach has been working. We've made improvements and we're up to like 6 a.m. most day, like 5:30 to 6. So
6 is
that's
a,
more humane.
That's yeah. like a, that's like doable. It's not ideal, but it's yeah. doable.
It's doable.
3:30? No. The roosters are fucking still sleeping.
They are.
They are.
Yeah, we had chickens for a decade.
So is the sleep, is it a lady?
Yeah.
And does she Brittany. Come and stay the
It's virtual. She's on the East Coast. And
really? It's virtual?
Yeah.
Is that weird?
I want to say sleepability consultants.
Wow.
Or something. I would like to get you the actual name because they actually specialize in working with neurodiverse kids, which is why I found them because all their traditional stuff wasn't working.
Give me your information after because yeah. I'll post it on the podcast.
Because it does, like neurodivergent kids virtual. Have different sleep needs. And so she helped paint the picture of like, what his temperament is like and what was kind of working, what wasn't, and has helped us like micro change little things. The biggest change was taking out his nap, which he was almost pretty much ready for age-wise anyway. Like he won't have it in school next year, whereas his class last year, they had a 2-hour nap time, like allotted every day. But taking away the nap was a big piece and then adjusting our bedtime routine, adding daylight therapy in. So like every day at 6 a.m., we turn a UV light on for a little bit so that he can... his circadian rhythm can start to realize that morning is 6 and not 3.
And not 3. God, 3 o'clock.
And how to address the behavior. So when he does wake up before the light turns green, like how are we dealing with that? And having united front with my husband and I, like
is that
she's
hard?
Helping all that.
Is that hard to be parent?
You know what's so hard is that he's so freaking cute and he knows how to pull the strings. So he's like, Daddy, I just want to be with you. I'd really love to snuggle with you right now. Can I please? And like, how can you say no to that adorable?
Damn it, and the cute eyes.
Puppy
and the
dog
cute,
eyes.
And he's so cute and he's so cute.
Yeah.
I know it's the eyes. And it's funny because David gets suckered into Charlotte's eyes too. He'll tell me, he's like, we were, you know, I'm like, why'd you buy her that? Like as an example. And then he's like, she looked at me with the eyes. And I was like, I look at you with eyes. I don't, nothing happens. Zero. Nothing. Nada. But no, I can understand. But I mean, and so you and Mark are on the same page. Like you guys.
Yeah.
That's good. And then, so now.
It's not all things. And I mean, gosh, we run our business together.
I know they
and we're married and we have a kid on the
and
spectrum.
They're so
like it's a lot to
manage. And every time I
manage.
See them, they're so cute.
Well, you're sweet.
Her and her husband are so freaking cute. I'm just
we work
like
on it, and we balance each other. We're like yin yang, you know, like our taste buds, complete opposite. If I like something, he doesn't, and if he's like this is gross, I'm like ooh, give it to me. I'll probably like it, you know. So
I know they're really really cute together, but I know you guys have a very busy house with. So you have ADHD.
Yeah.
Your son?
Yeah.
And your husband?
Yeah. All three of us.
Which yours was...
Trifecta.
Yours was recently.
Yeah.
Fairly recently.
I wasn't diagnosed until 37 when Jasper was diagnosed. And when I was like researching sensory things and like trying to learn more about parenting kids with ADHD, I was reading more and more checklists. Every one of these applies.
Oh, shit.
I'll never forget. I listened to this amazing podcast by Attitudes, which is a magazine, an organization that has some really cutting edge research on ADHD. And it was an episode about marriage and about being married to someone with ADHD and like kind of the imbalance or what's asked of the more neurotypical person in order to accept the challenges of their ADHD partner. And I thought I was listening to it to learn about my husband. And then it turned out that every single point that they made was actually about me.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah. But then, and then it was like this magical aha, like so many things made sense. Looking backwards, it was easier to see. But for women, it goes undiagnosed so often because for us, it's less obvious. It's in our heads. Like, it looks like runaway thoughts and it looks like 25 tabs open on your computer and 18 projects and texting friends and doing a million things and multitasking. Whereas for boys, it's so obvious. Like, he can't sit still for 15 seconds. I call him a hummingbird because he's just like hovers over one thing for 11 seconds and then moves over mm-hmm. here and then over there. We go to the beach and I'm like, let's build a sandcastle. And building a sandcastle to him looks like running back and forth to the water every 32 seconds to refill his bucket.
Oh. No sandcastles being built. It's just water.
Yeah. And a lot of movement.
A lot of movement.
I thought there was a sitting involved in that process.
I was going to stretch my legs for a little bit.
Nope. So all that to say, yeah, I realized I had ADHD and the things that I struggled with, like organizing and cleaning. I've never been good at cleaning up. For myself. And I just look past clutter. It's like a, and at the same time, I have a photographic memory. So clutter is actually in a way comforting because I'm like, oh, I know where that thing is. I see it. If it's visual, it's there. So I see it. I remember where I saw it. Even though, yeah, the shoes are in the corner of the room instead of in the shoe closet. Mm-hmm. I know exactly where they are.
You do. Yeah. And you know, it was one of the things you said, and it's funny because, like I said, I go to houses every day. I see a lot of things. And, and it's funny, it's more women now. I've been telling me, I just diagnosed too. I have another client she's going to be 50 this year. She was just diagnosed last year. And she was, but she's like, now it makes sense. It wasn't making sense. You know what I mean? Like she just felt like she was just like, I just can't wrap my brain around certain things or everything was little, like I would do a little bit, then a little bit. She goes, and I just didn't think about it. She's like, she had a million other things she was working on too. So she just kind of brushed it aside. And then they finally said, no, you have it. And she's like, well, shit.
Yeah.
I wish I had
overcompensated with perfectionism and burnout. Like I did it all. Instead, I wasn't the procrastinator type of ADHD. I was like the impulsive, get it done. If I think of an idea, I do it kind.
Like right then.
Right then, which meant like working 65 hours a week and like still working at 8 p.m. And, if I had some idea, it felt like this pressure, I have to get it done. And until it's done, I can't settle. Whereas now I'm learning to like notice that for what it is and add more space to it. But I tackled it with perfectionism. So once I had a kid, like I couldn't do that shit anymore.
No. You can't do
especially
a
kid who doesn't sleep.
Especially a kid who gets up at 3:30. Was he like that as a baby too?
Yeah, he was quite colicky and unsettleable. And he would just wake up screaming. Poor guy, I don't know what he dreamt about. He'd be like 2 months old and would wake up from any nap or sleep with like shrieking like
murdered him or something.
Yeah, exactly. God. Yeah, it was so sad. And then, looking back, like after the autism diagnosis, I was like, oh, okay. He's just that unsettled in his own nervous system. So it kind of all makes sense.
I'm sure it does kind of come like a click, like a light switch. It's like, what's going on? And then Mark has always had it, yes?
Yeah, Mark was diagnosed at like age 7 with ADHD. Because again, boys, it's so easy. They just don't sit still.
Yeah.
It's Mark a lot easier to see.
So it was funny. So the first time I went in there, besides seeing the pillow of pretzels, so we were working on, I think, Jasper's room. The first thing we did was Jasper's room. And they had some of, Samantha and Mark had some of their stuff, some of their memories, some of their, books and just some stuff that needed to be kind of pared down or moved. So Jasper had a little bit more space, I think was the initial thing. I could be wrong. But anyways, I realized fairly quickly with Mark, he knows that something needs to be done, but he does not want to do it with me there. And he wants to do it on his own time. Because at first we're like, okay, just go through, let's just go through this and let's just go through that. Because I do that with you. You and I will sit, we will sit down on the floor together and we'll just, and I realized really quick, I would say within the first like hour, I was like, okay. And then we were going to do this one project together, like out in their backyard. They have this really cool, and Mark is so, because he's all over the place, he is so uber talented. I mean, besides that you guys work together, he has, the garage was converted to like a gem. He makes beautiful stones and necklaces and jewelry and so intricate.
He invented his own machine, his own milling machine to carve the stones.
Yeah.
He built the shed that we were going to talk about organizing.
And then like on a Tuesday, they're like, yeah, and last Thursday, he had some extra wood and here's a fucking shed. And I'm like—
And here's a freaking treehouse.
And here's a treehouse for Jasper. And then, but the shed, it wasn't finky. It wasn't like you sneeze. This thing was legit. And he's like, I just had some extra wood over there in the pile. And they used to have chickens, now they don't, but they have this amazing backyard, which we'll talk about in a second. But he's like, yeah, I just, did that. And I'm thinking, huh? I wanted you to go through books. He couldn't do that, but he builds this amazing, but he does it on his own time. And I realized that. And so it's not even he does it. This is for Mark, done. But you and I, we really kind of tackle and she does have some placement. Like sometimes when new stuff comes in, I've realized too, is like, she doesn't know what to do. You don't know what to do with it. And it's been a very interesting, I love it. I ask her questions because I'm a sponge and I like to understand because I do see it a lot, but I don't understand it. So sometimes I ask like, how are you thinking? Or what is this pause? Like, why did we, certain things that you just set stuff down. And she's like, well, I didn't know where it went. that's why you're here. And I was like, oh, okay, perfect. So as long as we get a space for it, we know, and it's labeled or whatever, yeah, whatever works for you.
Once
and,
you give it its proper place.
Once I give it its proper place.
Then I know where it goes.
Samantha's going to be my number one fan. Lisa always is number one.
Okay, let's take a quick break. Click the like, subscribe, or follow button on any platform that you're using, and that will give you notifications when the next episode drops. Now back to the show.
You know, it's challenging, I'm sure, with Jasper and energy and lack of sleep and your own business. And it's I think that you're not alone. You know what I mean? And that's the thing is, as I'm seeing it. I'm one person going to people's houses, and I've seen a lot in the last couple of years, a big difference, a big shift too, with a lot more women saying it, which yeah. Before it always, I feel like it's a little more, I don't want to say always boys. It's not, you know, they're not always on the spectrum. Everybody is, but I feel like you see it more like, oh
yeah, they're finally doing research with women subjects and learning what the different expressions of it look like. Because for us, it would have just been written off as anxiety or as keeping up with Jane or whatever.
Crazy.
Yeah, quirky.
Yeah, she's kind of crazy and quirky.
Yeah.
You're like,
so
no,
there's
I'm
been
not.
Just so much more research in the last 10 years. And one of my biggest ahas too, because I also suffer from PMDD. So PMS is like 10 times worse emotionally for me. 50% of women with ADHD have PMDD. So every month we're dealing with these insane hormonal spikes that our bodies just don't process quite as well as our neurotypical peers. But nobody told me this. Like, had I known this when I was a teenager and could have been on top of this game this whole time, it would have been so transformative. Because instead I'm like, oh no, I'm depressed. Oh no, I feel fat. Oh no, life's so hard. What is wrong? These are all traceable things. If I started keeping a journal and was like, every month on day 25, I have the same hopelessness. Oh, that's just what it is then. I can like, write, I can let it go. I don't have to believe it. Whereas before, all these thoughts felt so real. And so if I could just
that's very interesting.
Find a way
that.
To educate young women, that would make me very happy because I wish more people could be empowered to know that their hormonal fluctuation, especially if they have ADHD or autism, is like a lot more severe. And the more we can track it and know it and be mindful of it, the more we can help ourselves or have other people help us.
That's actually fascinating.
Fascinating. Because part of ADHD is like emotional dysregulation, and that's for autism too. A lot. There's so much overlap. I mean, pretty much any form of neurodivergence. I think they're going to come up with more and more words for these
and more labels
over time because I think it's kind of outdated a lot of the systems and stuff. But it is a spectrum, right? So everyone's on it somewhere. But
people
with more pronounced neurodivergence tend to have a lot of trouble with emotional regulation. And so you throw hormones into the mix there and it's really hard.
That's really
and it's so
hard.
Easy to believe those thoughts because it's your own brain talking to you and telling you these things like, yes, everything is so hard.
Yeah.
But if you can look at it and be like, oh, that's just because it's day 25. It's not actually hard.
Day 28 will be much better.
Day 28 is even worse. But day one will be really good.
No, but that's really interesting because you think about all these teenage girls and sometimes they don't know.
No,
you
and I thought I had depression at age 18 and they were treating me for depression, which, hey, was partly true, but 99% of that was just the freaking hormonal cycle on repeat.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
See, and you know, and it's funny because you have a name, Samantha, always, she has all these journals, she has all these notebooks, she has all these things, and she's keeping some, we're boxing up some because some of them are, she absolutely wants to keep. But when I think about it now, I'm like, that was genius to have these like journals and stuff. Before I'd be like, journaling, when do you do that? But now it makes sense. I don't know. I didn't do it. I want a journal. I just never do.
I love it.
I know.
Great.
A lot of people say it's
thoughts all the way kind of flushed out because otherwise it's easy to like perseverate and keep things
now,
in my
is
head.
Your sister, does she have?
Yeah, she hasn't gotten any formal diagnoses, but she probably has ADHD. I think everyone in my family does. My dad and my grandpa also.
Your dad really being a preschool teacher?
I mean, it's perfect.
He
doesn't have to sit still.
He doesn't.
Are you kidding me? He doesn't know how to sit still. It's great. And my grandpa, it's so obvious. He gets like so overwhelmed trying to like clean a room or organize his pantry or something. Like
Oh, yeah.
He for sure has like executive functioning challenges. But he's also amazing. And it became a gym rat at age 85, which is, I think, really inspiring.
Oh my gosh. I love it.
And my sister actually works with special ed and helps connect kids with resources so that they can learn in a way that supports them. And she's really cognizant of how much potential there is to support learners in new ways, because our special ed system is so outdated and it's kind of like Band-Aids over the problem.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there's more and more and more kids. I mean, some schools now are like 50% of kids with IEPs. So like, at what point does the system need to change so that we can support learners where they're at?
Yeah. You know, one of my clients, her son has the IEP as assistant, or what is it? Like a shadow. Yeah. Uh-huh. More so a couple years ago. And then there was a period of time where like they just were there. They weren't really interacting or something. She was telling me something where she's like, I don't understand. They need the assistant there or the shadow there to make sure he's doing everything. And they're not even like really involved. And I'm like, she was like, well, why are they there? You know, it's like just to, he was going to a public school at the time, but offered that service or something. I don't remember all the details and I could be kind of, but she's like, well, why is he here then? Or this shadow, if he's still on his own, like he's on his own. They're not really guiding him. So why is this person just standing there? I think it was because that classroom had to have somebody standing there with him.
It's like a safety thing.
More of a safety thing. And I'm like, but he is, you know, it doesn't need to be, his hand doesn't need to be held, obviously, but it's like, be there, do something, help him. So I mean, I don't know how the system works, but I feel like if it's just a body, that's not really helping. And so, I mean, I don't know. I'm not very privy to all the stuff, but I see it so much.
It's like a part-time job. Navigating all the resources. There's some amazing resources out there, but it is legitimately a part-time job. Connecting all the dots too, because it's like one agency will be like, talk to those people. Then the school district's like, you need to do that. And so it's just kind of like a wild goose chase. But if you stay on top of it, then you could get your kids' needs met.
And you've learned a ton.
Yeah.
You've learned a ton that you can also, you know, help people with. Because again, this is not something that's,
One of the best resources I came across is this website called Undivided. I think it's undivided.io. And they kind of help connect the dots between all the different state resources and national resources and school district stuff. And there's an entry level, like free part of the website. And then there's paid options where you can have like a one-on-one coach, essentially, who helps you move through all the different steps.
Yeah, because you've had to learn this. Again, when you have a kid, right? We have a kid. We read the what to expect when you're not expecting, and then first, you know, and then kablooey, right? Everything goes, you know, slightly different and in different. And there's books, you know, to help you, but there's not like as a you don't know what you're getting. You don't know what you're walking into, and you also reading a book and then being there and seeing, you know, for instance, the way Jasper was sleeping. I mean, you were probably beating your head against a wall and you're reading and you're like, okay, I'm trying to do this stuff, but it's not correlating with what.
I followed every tip in every sleep book. And I can't leave him unsupervised because he has a tendency to make like really crazy choices or not use his body in safe ways. Like, you know, it's really funny to put a t-shirt or a pillowcase over your head and not be able to see and run around, things like that. So, even if he's up at 3 a.m., I can't just let him be up by himself. You know, people are like, oh, well, just, you know, you sleep till 6 or 7. He's fine. Like, actually, no, wouldn't be safe at my house.
No. And you wouldn't sleep because you'd be so worried about it.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, you have to be with him. But sometimes they, you know, life throws you this curveball and like you're like, there's no friggin' book for this.
Yeah.
Now there is like, once you got the idea, but in the beginning you were just like,
right. What? Once I learned the term sensory processing disorder, a lot clicked into place, but it took a lot to get there. It took multiple professionals and you know, his first pediatrician said, oh, you've got nothing to worry about. Head banging's totally normal. Not talking a lot at this age is totally normal. But then I have a friend who's a speech therapist. I was like, yeah, you should go to the regional center and just get an evaluation and they'll give you free speech support. It's worth it. And then they also gave us a child development services person who wound up like unlocking the door by giving us this sensory processing disorder arena to look into. And sure enough, that just kind of described why he's having so many problems, what kind of resources he needs. But then trying to get the right amount of occupational therapy and everything. It's definitely just
a
journey.
And that's where the disconnect is. So if that, you know, your doctor back then, right? Mm-hmm. Well, everything's fine. And it just so happened you knew somebody or you asked a question and then
If I did nothing for 5 years, like he probably would hardly be talking now. Like as it is, you know, his occupational therapist is really helping him with his letters and things. I don't know that he'd be able to write whatever they'd learn that in school if he didn't have an extra year or two of someone supporting him through challenging things.
Yeah, and that's the sucky part of the system. Like you said, a lot of it is broken. But if you wouldn't have mentioned, because who do you go to? You go to your pediatrician. Yeah. Not to knock the pediatrician, but I'm just saying is sometimes there's probably a generic answer. Like, oh, it's fine, everything's fine. They do that, you know, they do that. And then you're like, well, there's maybe a reason. Let's see. And you just happen to see that. So with all these people who their child or whatever, it's just kind of fascinating and sad that you don't have the tools that you need, you know, fairly regular or fairly easy to get without you happen to know this person who said, wait, hold on, go here and then go here and then boom, now you have a solution or at least what it is.
And that was with something that I think was fairly obvious. Whereas like we were talking about with girls, it's so much less obvious. A lot of it is more in like the social dynamics or the unhealthy thought processes that maybe they don't even think say aloud to let people know that they need support with.
Right, right.
And so it's so much easier for girls to go undiagnosed. I don't know the actual ratio, but I want to say it's like 2-1 boys to girls or even more, 6-1 or something. Yeah. Like it's very disproportionate because a lot of the signs are so much more obvious.
Yeah.
With boys, but that's where like all this great research is coming into play now in Attitudes Magazine and these like, and Chad and these organizations that are like doing the groundwork to support all people with ADHD.
Yeah. I think you should also, besides having your fruit business, I think you should be educating.
Yeah.
I think
In all my free time. It sounds really fun.
I know. But you really are a wealth of knowledge. Like you have, I mean, forget all the books she has, you guys, which I've color coded 75 times and keeps telling her to get rid of some books, but it's fine. It's fine. Now we'll keep all the books. We'll keep all the books. She's off the hook. She's off the hook. But she's a, like a wealth of knowledge just with everything. You just have that. You know, and you've just educated yourself too, like just trying to figure all this out. And then now with you, and you have it, it's okay, but now you know what was going on.
Yeah.
Because I remember you briefly saying right after you had Jasper that you were like, I just thought it was like postpartum, like you know, what was going on. Because I mean, it all sucks right after, like your thoughts, your mind, your emotions. Like I cried all the time. I cried because Charlotte wouldn't sleep at night and I was really tired, but there were other things and I would just cry and I'm just like, oh, and then they're like, well, that's kind of like part of postpartum. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. You know, like I just was like, I didn't know. So
yeah. And my postpartum was also during peak COVID. So that was a whole other episode right there.
You had explain that. Tell us in two sentences.
Tell us how it was to bring a baby into the world. Actually, though, I feel lucky because had he been as active as he is and like of school age, that would have been 20 times harder. Shout out to all the moms who did homeschooling or virtual schooling, whatever they want to call it, in 2020 and 2021. I don't know how I could have survived that with such an active child. And
I know that
there's moms who did that with more than one child even. And so, oh my gosh, you guys, you did that.
I tried. She was in preschool, so it wasn't a thing. And I honestly, I wouldn't have survived. And to think I've gone to houses. I was going to houses where they, like you said, three kids. And then some of them, because they had three kids, they would just invite like a friend or two. So then they have like a little pod. And then the parent, because they were home, they're already teaching the three kids. And then so-and-so dropped off little Johnny. And I'm like, and they were younger. I mean, this isn't, the high school part just makes me sad, but the younger ones, I mean, you're like, they're like, this is not the same. So everyone, when the kids went back to school, that was another thing. When the kids went back to school, they didn't really know the social cues again, like how to behave in a classroom on the younger kids side, you know, because you're doing this
shit. And we're still feeling the effects, but then trying to sweep it under the rug. Like, oh no, it's totally normal that 90% of every class is underperforming.
Yeah, exactly. It's totally, everything's fine. All is fine. It's just crazy. And last year, the year before, one of the mommies, you know, who's definitely talks to the principal and the teachers a lot more than I do, but she was saying that most of the kids are about 2 years behind right now in their learning just because of that.
And that's where, like, let's change the system. Let's hit pause. Let's catch people up or redefine what's needed.
Yeah, like really redefine what's needed. Obviously, at the younger age, you need to know that, you know, but some of that stuff is just, that's just.
I learned and excelled at calculus. And you want to know how often I've used that ever? Never. I used second and third grade math every day. I run a business. I've run a business for 15 years and I do division, multiplication, yep. subtraction, and addition. And maybe once or twice I've like, you know, done some math to find a variable or something. But why are we pushing and pushing? I'd rather life skills classes and like human kindness and compassion classes and meditation. Like, how about tools that people can use in their life? Interpersonal
like
skills.
Like life classes. Yes. A lot of kids, you know, teenagers, I know they're, you know, a little bit on the spectrum or maybe just on the spectrum and, you know, they're getting older and it's like, now what? They don't know what to do. I mean, one of my friends, her son is like, he's 16 and like, he has to ask like what goes in the fridge and what doesn't. So when she, you know, for a while when they were putting their groceries away, but he would put it to his cheek. This was a couple years ago. He'd put it to his cheek and if it was cold, he knew it went in the fridge. Okay. So now I don't know that it's much better. I don't know how, what this, that was a story she told about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Like that just, oh, really? I just thought, you know, okay. So then I'm like, okay, well, he's already 16. Life is, I mean, we don't want to be adults. Listen, it's overrated.
It really is.
But 18 comes around, right? And you're going to probably go to college. Not everybody, but probably go to college. And then what? You don't know what to do. Like, teach them that. No one gives a rip about calculus. No one gives two shits about trigonometry unless you're going to be in that world.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people.
I've not used any physics, any chemistry.
Nope.
Any made up history.
No. No, I haven't done that either. Yeah, exactly. All that stuff. You're just like, come on, like fix some of it. And I think a lot of people are not alone in this. And just, you know, you'll give me some of those resources that you talked about. Just so if you're listening, which like and subscribe to get the latest drop on a new episode, you will get that information. But this is why I love talking to all of these guests is because besides having a great relationship with Samantha, I feel that we have a really good relationship. I adore her. I adore family. Mark is a riot. He's so talented. I love all the gems. He's like a gem guy, like, you know, the quartz and the amethyst, but all these, and he makes the most beautiful things. And I'll be like, yeah, on a Tuesday at like 12, I did this. And I'm like, what? I did. He's so talented and so amazing, but they're so great. But I love getting information and supporting, just the conversation, you know, everybody, you're not alone out there. Whatever conversation is for today, you're not alone. So it's just really, I don't know, it's really special when, you know, you get to get some information that hopefully will help you. I mean, that's what I think personally. It helps me. And I don't, you know, Charlotte, we talked about this, I think, you know, Charlotte, I had to get a behavioral therapist because she had bathroom issues, fear. I don't know what the fuck. I'll tell you right now, I've lost 27 years off my life on that. But again, books, they don't tell you about this, right? So we just assumed the bathroom thing was one thing, right? We're just like, oh, and I'm sure I've talked about this for a second, but, and then come to find out, talking to the behavioral therapist, the first one we had, who'd never met Charlotte, which really annoyed me. I don't know why. I just felt that you need to be like, meet the kid, dude. But she had a practice, so she referred me to somebody else in that practice. But also, she was very expensive. It was still expensive, but she was like $250 an hour. And I'm like, I just need to know if she can go poop in the toilet. But come to find out, actually, it was her food that was the big issue, her eating and her food. And I was like, what? Like, she's, you know, she was like 4 and a half before she peed on the potty because she was so scared. She was, I mean, if she ever listens to this podcast, I'm not embarrassing you, Charlotte, but she was like six, a little over six before she pooped in the toilet. She would poop in a pull-up, but never, I mean, 6 and a half. I mean, like, holy fucking shit, okay? Let me tell you how much stress that caused our household. But come to find out, they're like, yeah, I mean, that'll happen. This was the one. Oh yeah, I'm not even really worried about that. I'm actually worried about her food. And I'm like, really? Like in my head, I'm just like, oh, she's picky. Now she has sensory. I have sensory. It's, you know, it's her genetic, whatever. I didn't know that. But that's where you peel away. Like I just assumed it was just the bathroom stuff. And they're like, well, that'll happen. And I'm like, well, she's six. It's not fucking happening. Like, what am I? She's going to be 36 and she's going to still have a fucking pull-up on and everyone's going to make fun of her. But then they're like, oh, the eating stuff. And it was really eye-opening and fantastic. And I really, really liked, I kind of dove into that. And then I just like hearing what you're saying. Cause you know, as a parent, you just, some of the shit, you're just like, there's no book on this crap.
And I think that all kind of like circles back to like just asking for help, asking people who might know if they have any resources then kind of like following the breadcrumb trail. That's really what it feels like. It's like following freaking breadcrumb
trail. And it's all like little, like you said, like little to connect the dots. And one of the things is you're right, is asking for help. Cause I remember one day I wasn't working and I told myself, I'm going to call a couple, you know, behavioral therapists or therapists and see where they recommend me. And I remember by the time I got to the third and I told my 6 minute story, I couldn't even talk. I was sobbing so much, but I was just so exhausted. I was so exhausted just mentally about what are we doing? Like, I mean, every time was such, at one point we had six little potties around the house because we're like, well, maybe she's scared to be, okay, she doesn't want the toilet flushing. Okay. So here, and I'm like, we cannot have a house with six fucking little potties. Like, what the fuck? And, you know, David just said, okay, just tell me what to do. And here I am like stressing and like, man, I felt like I aged so much and it was tense. Everything was just, and it was like this big thing. And I should have just asked for help a long time ago. But I remember by the time I got to that third and I was like, I'm actually not sad. I just want you to know that I'm just fucking tired. I'm so mentally exhausted. And then getting that help was great. And it's not perfect, but definitely, it was definitely worth, I wish, you know, you have regrets. I wish I would have done that a couple years before. Right, like, Jesus, yeah. Lord.
I have been getting 8 hours of sleep the last 2 years. That would have been nice.
Exactly. So I wanted to ask this, how long have you and Mark been together?
20 years.
Since high school?
Right after high school.
Right after high school. Yeah. Yeah.
My cousin introduced us summer after high school. Yes. And we just immediately clicked.
They, they're such a cute couple. And I think that you guys just are so talented. I love that you have your business. I love that you're so creative. It kind of inspires me. I mean, I haven't done any of the stuff that it inspires me. I'm like, God, I really should do like knitting or I should draw. Maybe I'll go take an art class. And then I'm like, when am I doing that? So I just got to make time, but you're just a wealth of knowledge. And of course I want to support you. I want to support your business and I want everybody to let me know your thoughts. Like I said, you're not alone with stuff like this. You're not alone. And I tell all of my clients this too, when I go in and you feel like discombobulated or you feel overwhelmed, you are not alone. There's a million people who feel like just they don't know where to start. That's what was also with you and getting to have me. It's like, where do I start?
Yeah, no, actually, I wanted to start on the bookcases. And you're like, well, we got to have room to put all the crap that's like overflowing your bookcases. Let's go to the kid's bedroom.
Let's start here. And it's because sometimes you just don't know where to start. And then sometimes people will say to me, regardless if you have, you know, ADHD, regardless of anything, they're like, what we did today would have taken me six months.
Oh yeah.
Like one drawer, I would do one drawer a month. You know what I mean? Like it's just, and it's like, yeah, you asked for help. And I appreciate that. I love helping you. I will continue to help you as long as you need me. And I will continue to laugh my ass off with your husband who, on a final note of this conversation, her husband had, I've mentioned this before, I think I just mentioned it in my last podcast, he had bunion surgery and I hate the word bunion. It's just like a bun and an onion had a baby and he had to have it. And so we kind of started joking about that. Is that how it started?
Probably. Oh gosh, yeah.
Didn't he have and so now we have this thing, like he'll tell me these funny stories and now it morphed into like gross pictures of feet or like weird toes and stuff. Cause I was like kind of making fun of his, cause wasn't he in a thing?
He had to have like the boot thing.
Like the boot for a while though, like a month or six weeks or something. And I was like, how's your bunion? And the word bunion just is like, I get goosebumps just saying it. And so him and I kind of have this thing. So I'll send Samantha these gross pictures if something pops up. Cause again, you think it and it comes up on your phone. And so Mark and I kind of go back and forth and just kind of outgross each other with stuff. And I find it.
Except that it's all through me. And so I like went to actually look for a real link and my shared messages with Jennifer was like 90 Instagram reels of creepy toes.
And then one time, this is a couple weeks ago, I have another client, her name is Samantha too. And I just have Samantha, because when I first meet somebody, I put in my phone like Samantha the city, but for Samantha here, it was like Samantha Pilates. Because when you when I met you that I knew. Yeah. It was like, oh, Pilates. And then this one, anyways. And I sent her like this disgusting picture of this foot for her to give to Margo, this toe, these toes. It was just so gross. And she's like, I think you have the wrong, Samantha. I think you have the wrong person. And I'm like, oh God, she opened that and probably like, oh, I'm like, you know, tell Mark you're welcome or something like that. And then it was like, no, and I wanted to die. I wanted to die. I was so embarrassed. I was like, oh my God. She's not a person that would appreciate
watch
that.
Who you text.
I know, toes. Thank God it was just toes and not something else. But yeah, they're just really great. And if you guys are looking into subscriptions for fruits and veggies, you can just do fruits, you could do veggies, you could do both. And it is, and they're amazing. Of course, they're, you know, what, farm to table?
Yeah, and all organic. Good Box all organic.
Yeah, Good Box. The link will be in the description. I want to thank you for being here, like always. I thank you. I appreciate you. And I love helping you. And I'm so glad that we met. And I'm so glad that you were able to talk to me today. So thank you so much. And everybody, remember, again, in case you forgot, if you like, subscribe, and follow, you get to know when a new episode drops. Ba-bing! Thank you so much. I look forward to talking to you again. That's a wrap on today's episode of Unpacking with Jennifer. I hope you're walking away with a little inspiration and a few practical tips to make life at home just a little bit easier. If you love the episode, be sure to subscribe so you never miss a new one. And if you found it helpful, I'd love if you left a quick review. It helps more moms like us find the show. Let's keep the conversation going. You can find me on social media at Jennifer_Sattell for more organizing tips, behind the scenes moments, and a whole lot of real life. Until the next time, take a deep breath, give yourself some grace, and keep unpacking what matters most. This episode was engineered by Robert Altshuler. Music by Coldfire. Recorded and mixed at Command Recording Studios.